Welcome again to Good Hope Through Grace. Tonight's message will be brought to you by Pastor Jeff Arthur, pastor of Elizabeth Baptist Church. Good Hope Through Grace is a radio broadcast ministry of Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. For more messages from Jeff Arthur or more information on Elizabeth Baptist Church, please visit our website at www.ghtg.org.
Open your Bibles, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Good to have each of you in Sunday school. Good to have each of you that are listening by way of radio. We're going to kind of wrap up, Lord willing, tonight, the book of 2 Corinthians. And we're going to focus mainly on one verse in this chapter, 2 Corinthians 13 and the verse 5. It says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Now, the church of Corinth and much of 2 Corinthians has been the Apostle Paul defending his apostleship. So there are several chapters where the Apostle Paul is defending himself as being a true apostle. You wouldn't think you'd have to do that, but what happened is after he had left, some false apostles had went in. If you look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he addresses these fellows. Of course, if there's going to be true apostles, there's going to be false apostles. If there's going to be true prophets, there's going to be false prophets. If there's going to be true churches, there's going to be false churches, because the devil, he himself is a counterfeiter. And he's always been a counterfeiter, all the way in New Testament times and all the way back into the Old Testament times. There was a true temple, but there also was places of false worship in Israel, especially in the northern ten tribes, golden calf worship, etc. So he's always been a counterfeiter. So that's the problem that the Apostle Paul was having with the Corinthian church. And it's really a shame. When you consider that he was on his mission trips and he went there, and you can read about it in the book of Acts, either Acts 17 or 18, I can't remember the exact chapter. But when he was there in a lot of fear, and he wanted to leave, basically. And because Corinth, if you wanted to call someone a bad name, you called him a Corinthian. It was an evil, wicked, depraved place. And the Lord appeared to him in a vision and said, "Paul, speak." He said, "I got a lot to think about this now. I got a lot of people in this city." So, Lord knows who his sheep are. He had sheep there, and he sent Paul there to deliver the message that they could hear, the gospel message, and they were saved, and the church was established. But now, they had drifted into some error. And that's what 1 Corinthians 4 was for the purpose of correcting a lot of the error that they had in them. They had a lot of division in them. And then 2 Corinthians, much of it, he's just defending himself as being a true apostle of Christ. Okay? So here you see in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, "Such are false apostles, deceitful workers." Transforming means to assume the appearance of. They weren't true apostles, but they assumed the appearance of the apostles of Christ. "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also." His what? Did you notice what it says? His what? His ministers. Did you realize he has ministers? But folks, you got to realize they don't walk around with a patch on their back that says "devil's ministers" on the back of them. They appear just like any other minister does. They work in churches. They carry Bibles. They claim to be preachers of Christ, but their teachings is really how you know what they are. Verse 15, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So now let's go back to 2 Corinthians 13. Now in verse 5, he's turning the tables on them. They'd been examining him, and now Paul says, "You examine yourself." You examine yourself. And this examination, now let's go ahead and read the text again. "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now, what he's basically telling them is that they needed to look at themselves and make sure they were saved. They need to examine themselves and to make sure they were saved. Now, there's other texts that does that. 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 10 says that we are to make our election and our calling sure. In other words, we are to make sure we're saved. And everybody needs to do that. You need to, I mean, after all, if you think what lays in the balance of that thing, eternity lays in the balance. Whether or not you're saved or not is what determines where you spend your eternity at. So you need to make it sure. And you need to do some examination on yourself at times to make double sure that you indeed are born again. Now, let's notice, I'm going to show you several points. I probably got too much as I normally do for just 28 minutes, but I'm going to show you the reason, first of all, why this call was being made, the reason for the call. And the reason why a person needs to examine themselves is because the Bible reveals that there's many people that think they're saved, but they're not. There's many, a great host of people that think they're saved, but they're not. So that's why you have to do an examination. Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And it shows us how there will be a great host of people that think they know the Lord, but in the end days, whenever they stand before the Lord, they'll find out they never really knew Him. They thought they did. They probably had a profession, but indeed they weren't saved. Now, this is frightening, really, when you consider it. That's why you need to, I'm showing you why you need to have an examination. The reason for the call to examine yourself is because some people think they're saved, but they're not. They've trusted either a false way, and we're going to show you some of the reasons for this. Not everyone, verse 21 of Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And of course, the will of the Father is that you trust in Christ as your Savior. This is the will of the Father, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, that's the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? They claim to be prophets. They claim to speak for Jesus. They prophesied in your name. In your name they casted out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And notice this now. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Now, would that not be a frightening thing? Here's people that made their boast of religion. Here's people made their boast of serving the Lord and being a part of Him and being saved and all these things. And here they call Him Lord, Lord, and they did a lot of works in His name and did a lot. It even mentions casting out demons in the text. Notice how it mentions their wonderful works that they done. Kind of shows you the ground of what they're trusting in, doesn't it? You did notice that their boast was themselves. It says in verse 23, I never what again? I never knew you. And he called them workers of iniquity. Now, these weren't the town drunks. These were religious people. These were no doubt people that had church services on Sunday morning and sang maybe Amazing Grace in their choirs and all these things. But at the same time, Jesus wasn't who they was trusting in. The object of their faith was themselves. And because there's going to be a great host of people that are deceived, that's the reason why there is a call for an examination. You got to make sure that you're trusting the right thing. 1 Corinthians 15 is something I constantly harp on at our church, but also on the radio broadcast too, because I think it's one of the, if not the most important text in the Scriptures. That's how I feel about it. I think it is the most important text in the Word of God. And the reason why I think it is because most people would agree that salvation is through the means of the gospel. But the difference is how you define gospel. or what you determine is contained in the gospel message. There's a lot of people that add things to the gospel that are not part of the gospel. And we have an example of that in Acts chapter 15. That was the first problem that you see in the church of Jerusalem. You see how error had crept in. And they had some false brethren that came in there that said you needed to trust in the Lord Jesus, trust that He died for you and rose again, plus you have to be circumcised after the manner of Moses. So is that the gospel? No, that's a false one. Because they made the addition of what? Circumcision. That sounds odd to us today, but if you go back to that time frame, and they were in a transition stage. When you was under the old covenant and a Gentile wanted to be a part of Israel's religion, they circumcised them. So what these Jews did is they brought that over into the church and they made that a part of salvation. They made that a necessary part of salvation. So here in 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 1 through 4, we're looking at the reason for the call right now, call for an examination, because many have trusted a false gospel. And when you're talking about a false gospel, you always got to know what the true gospel is. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 is. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. This is the message Paul preached. Now, just for a little bit, I want you to consider something. Paul is different than us with regard to how he received the gospel. It's totally different. I received the gospel from a person. A person taught me the gospel. It wasn't a person that taught Paul the gospel. Paul received the gospel by revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1. Jesus gave him directly the gospel. Not only him, but also the other apostles received the gospel from Jesus Christ. Well, why this verse is important in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, this explains, he writes here, what he received. So there can be no doubt what the gospel is because it's contained in this text. Everybody got me? Now watch it now. Which I preached unto you, he says in verse 1, which ye have received. Is that how the gospel saves you? It's receiving it. The gospel message is like a medicine. You can't help you unless you receive it. You see what I'm trying to say? You got to take it in. You got to trust it. See? It says, wherein you stand, that you got to stand on it, by which you are what? By which you're saved. You're saved by receiving the gospel. You all agree with me? That's how you get saved. You receive the gospel. Well, what's contained in the message? Well, he tells you here in the text. Look down in verses 3 and 4. I delivered unto you, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures prophesied how Jesus would die for our sins. Isaiah chapter 53. The whole Old Testament sacrifice system gave a picture of the gospel every day when they offered a lamb every morning and every evening. It pictured the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, who would come and pay our sin debt on Calvary's cross. John the Baptist saw him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that includes us under that, see, the Gentiles. When you use the idea of the word world, it's not only the Jews, the believing Jews, but also the believing Gentiles. Isn't that a glorious thing? Now, for I deliver to you how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, then He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, that's the gospel. See, He said in verse 1, I'm going to declare it to you. And He said, I received that from Jesus. That's what it is. And Romans 1 says that it's the power of God to salvation. Now, I want you to listen to this. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. You have to receive it. You got to do more than be able to define it. You got to receive it. You got to trust it. You got to say, Jesus, I trust that you died for me and rose again. And that's what saves your soul. And that's what you trust in. Many have trusted hate to say this to you, but many have trusted a false gospel. And they've made all kinds of additions. Any addition to faith in the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus, anything you add to that makes that a perverted message. When the unbelieving Jews added circumcision to that in Acts 15, Boy, Paul and Silas jumped sideways over that because they recognized it was a perverted message. And if you trust a perverted message, listen to me, it'll send you to hell. So you got to trust the true gospel. You can't make any additions to it. And 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 is the full gospel. That's a reason for this call to make an examination. Make an examination. Have you trusted the right gospel? Have you trusted that Christ died for your sins and rose again the third day? Or are you trusting other things other than that? Are you trusting your good deeds? Are you trusting your baptism? Are you trusting your church membership? You can't trust those things. They're not even listed in the definition. You got to trust Jesus. And after you trust Jesus and you're born again, your sins are washed away, you evidence it through baptism. And that's the profession, that's the open declaration that you have as a person has trusted the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you invite your family in to see it, they're seeing a picture of the message you trusted whenever you receive Christ as your Savior. The second reason for this call to examine yourself, not only has many trusted a false gospel, which is why you need to examine, but also many people have a lip profession. A lip profession. And you can read about this in Matthew 15 and verse 8, and I'm going to read it for you. It says, These people draw nigh to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's a lip profession. And there's a lot of people that have those too. They made a profession in Jesus maybe when they were 10. Let me just grab that out. When they was 10, they made a profession or whatever. But that profession never changed them. They might be 40 now, and for 30 years, they've never served the Lord. They've never had a desire to worship. They've never had a desire to assemble at God's house. They never read God's Word. They never witness. And they don't care. But they have a profession. They got a profession when they was 10. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that. There's no heart in that thing. It's just from the lips. Look at James chapter 2. Speaks of a dead faith. James chapter 2 says, faith without works is dead. You say, Pastor, you believe it? Absolutely. Absolutely, I believe it. You say, well, you preach all the time, you're not saved by your works. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by the works of Jesus. But when He saves you, He changes you. If any man be in Christ, he says, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. I preach so long, it's going to sound horrible to you. I get excited when someone comes up after services and makes a profession, but I don't get that excited. You say, well, you have to be crazy. No, I'm not. I wait and see if they change. I wait and see if they come back the next service. I wait and see that they come for baptism. I wait for all of those kinds of things. Because when someone's been born again, it's going to evidence itself on the outside. There's going to be a change in people. Jesus, when He walked on earth, He had the 12 that walked with Him. And one of those 12 was a man by the name of who? Judas. He had a lip profession. But yet Judas, friends, was never born again. That amazes me. Never born again. Jesus makes that crystal clear in the Gospel of John chapter 6. He said, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. I've chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. And when He washed the disciples' feet, one of the statements He made there to His disciples, He said, ye are clean, but not all. And He's speaking of Judas Iscariot. Think of that. Walked with Him 3.5 years. Seen His miracles, heard His words. And when He sent them out 2 by 2, He even went with them. But at the same time, He can hear and see all those things and yet had an unregenerate heart which showed itself in the end. Jesus said, if you continue, then you are My disciples indeed. Disciples indeed is shown by continuing. So, why do you need to examine yourself? Because many people have trusted a false way. And they need to examine to make sure they trusted the right gospel. And many people have a lip profession, like Judas, or they made a profession that never changed them. They just continue to live the same old way. They continue to be the same old way. They don't care about spiritual things. The Lord's not in their thoughts. The Lord's not in their talk. And the Lord's not in their time. I got a big problem with that if someone claims to be born again. Sure, people can drift. The Bible shows you examples of people of God that fail. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're a child of God and you know Him, He'll take you to the woodshed. He'll correct you and He'll whip you because you're a child. He just won't leave you there. He just won't leave you there. He'll take His belt off to you and He'll use it on you and He'll correct you. And you ought to thank God for that because that's one of the ways that He keeps you. How do you examine yourself, folks? How do you examine yourself? And that's what we'll spend the rest of the broadcast on tonight. How do you examine yourself? Well, you examine yourself by the Scriptures. You examine yourself by the Scriptures. The Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 39, I'm going to quote this to you. It says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." He was talking to the unbelieving Jews. He says, "In the Scriptures ye think ye have eternal life." And He said, "That's the very thing that testifies." See, they rejected Jesus. He said, "They testify of me." So He pointed them to search them. Search the Scriptures to make sure that you're saved. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 13. One of the purposes of the book of 1 John is so you know you're saved. That's what we did Vacation Bible School on last year. Knowing that you're saved. To know that you're saved, how do you do an examination? You go to the Scriptures, because the Scriptures presents evidences of someone that's had a new birth. If you've had a new birth, there'll be evidence of it. If someone's born again, there'll be evidence of it. There will be proofs that you can see. See? And you need to do an examination. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." In other words, He wrote 1 John. The purpose of 1 John is so that it presents the evidences of a new birth. If you had a new birth, then you'll have these things. So you look and see if you see the evidences in your life. Now, if you can look at 1 John and you don't see the evidences, there's something wrong. So you examine yourself by the Scriptures. And the Scriptures is what the Holy Spirit uses. The Holy Spirit uses the Scriptures to give you the assurance that you need. I mean, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And how He does that is He does that through the means of His Word. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you three quick evidences here in 1 John. Evidence number one is in 1 John 5 and verse 1. And 1 John 5 and verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Messiah is" what? "Born of God." That's your first evidence. If you, from your heart, trusted that Jesus is the Messiah, that He died on Calvary for your sin debt and rose again the third day, it says you're born of God. That's why you did. In other words, why you did that is because you were born of God. See, the new birth will result in believing. See? Evidence number two is you'll seek to obey His commands. Notice what it says in 1 John 5 and verse 2 and 3. "But by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." So, keeping the commandments, of course, when you think of commandments, you just think about the Ten Commandments, but it's all the commandments of Scripture. After that you are saved, you seek to obey the Scriptures, what He's saying. Now, will you always keep the commandments 100%? Will you always be perfectly obedient? No, not in this flesh body you won't. But you have a desire to, don't you? You have a desire to mind him. We often use the illustration of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a covetous old sinner till Jesus visited him. And after Jesus got done at his house, he said, "Half my goods I've given to the poor. And if I've taken anything back by false accusation, I've restored it like fourfold." He restored it back. And Jesus said, "This day salvation has come to this house." What was the evidence of it? He had a desire to mind the Lord. He had a desire to keep His commandments now that he was born again. One of the first commandments you obey after you're saved is what? You know what it is? Baptism. That's one of the first commands you obey. Baptism isn't an option. Baptism is a command. Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist. Okay, so these are evidences of being born again. You trust Christ Jesus as your Savior. You seek to keep His commandments. And the third one is in 1 John 4:20-21. Here's the third evidence of being born again. See, we're doing an examination, and you should see these in your life. If we love Him, we love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. That's what the Scripture says. If a man says that he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. He that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from Him, that he who loves God, love his brother also. So those are three evidence. You trust Christ Jesus as your Savior. You seek to mind His Word as a second evidence. And you love your brothers and sisters. That's the third evidence. If someone claims to know the Lord and hates God's people and don't have no desire to obey His Word and don't love his brothers and sisters, they're showing evidence of not being born again. Because these are evidences of being born again. And that's how you make your calling sure. Examining yourself. Let me give you some questions in conclusion. Number one, have you trusted the right gospel? And the right gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose. Have you trusted? Is that your sole hope of heaven? After you made your profession, did it change you? After you made your profession of faith in Jesus, did it change you? Did you mind the Lord in baptism? Did you seek to obey His Word? If you were taken, this is giving you another question. If you was taken to the very gates of heaven and you stopped at the gate, this is an illustration, that's not going to happen. But if you was taken to the gates of heaven and you stopped at the gate and one came to the gates and says, "What right, Jeff Arthur, do you have to enter here?" What would you say? If you was taken right to the gates of heaven and stopped and someone comes and said, "What right do you have to enter here?" What would you say? Would you say, "I've done many wonderful works"? Would you say, "I was a member of this or that church," or "I was baptized"? What would you say? There's only one answer to that question. Christ died for my sins and rose again the third day. That's my only right to enter this place. Well, I pray that that's what you're trusting in this evening. And I pray that as we've done this examination, that you see Christ in you. Philippians 1:6 says, "He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ." Jesus not only began the faith in you, but He will also finish it. So I hope as we've done this examination that you see Christ in you. If you don't know for sure, you need to know for sure, because eternity is at stake. May God add His blessing.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening or anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is brought to you by Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.